What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producers Corner with Spud 2 Titan. Man, I have another hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and gifted musician. He is truly an innovator when it comes to performing and demonstrating his musical talents. He has won the Bass Player of the Year award from Bass Player magazine 3 times in a row. Please put your hands together and welcome 5-time Grammy Award-winning bassist, producer, and composer, Victor Wooten. What's happening, Victor?
Hey, man, it's Spud. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, man, I appreciate you coming and taking the time with me and chopping up with me, Victor. I'm a huge, huge fan of your work, man.
I appreciate that. We got to get together and play sometime, man. You and your keyboards?
Oh, yeah, man. You name the place and the time. I am down.
All right. All right, man.
You know, Victor, one of the things I want to talk about, man, you know, is your style and technique as a bass player. You know, I want to go back and probably to like early 2000, 2001 is really when I came on point with your work, man. And, you know, first thing I heard in your style, I was like, man, you're like the Stanley Jordan on bass. You know, I'm a big Stanley Jordan fan.
Oh,
man, dude. You know, just your style and his, man, you guys are playing the more like a fret style of the fingering on the neck of the bass. And, you know, that's really hard to do. I play a little bass myself, man. And, you know, to be able to mimic that, man, that takes great skill and precision to do something like that.
Wow. Well, you being a keyboard player, you would take to it very easily, you know, tapping with 2 hands up on the fingerboard.
Sure.
Because it's really, you know, it really what it is keyboard technique. And Stanley Jordan plays keyboards very well. And so, you know, you take to it very well, I'm sure.
Wow. Yeah, man. Like I said, I played around with it. And, you know, rhythmically, some of the dynamics I could bring out of it, man, but just the tone and just bringing all those extra harmonics that you had on there, man, it's just, that's a signature touch, man.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for enjoying.
You know, how did you start as a bass player, Vic, man? I mean, when did it all begin for you and, you know, merging into the seasoned veteran that you are in the industry, man?
Well, I appreciate that. This will sound like a joke, but it's a true story. I'm the youngest of 5 brothers. There's 5 of us. And when my brothers were young, they started playing music. And they realized at a very early age that if they had a bass player in the family, they'd have a complete band. And so I was what they needed. And so that became me right away. Right around 1 year old, they started getting me to play music with them. And I was about, you know, I don't know, 2 or 2.5 or so when they actually started teaching me to play the bass. And so, you know, I was just born in the right place at the right time.
Wow.
Anybody that was born into my situation would be just as good as me or better. Because I, you know, growing up, I never liked to practice. I don't know any kid that likes to practice anything. Kids like to do things. You know,
yeah.
I want to play a basketball game. I don't want to practice playing, you know, a game. And so I've always been one of those kids where I just wanted to play. I didn't like to practice. So if you take someone in my shoes that like to practice, oh man, they'd be untouchable.
Yeah, I hear you there, man. You know, I talk a lot about practice. You know, sometimes as musicians, man, especially when you're composing, producing, we can really get caught up in creating music and really, you know, pushing out the tracks as much as we can. But really going back to the fundamentals of rehearsing and playing and really perfecting your chops as a musician. You know, I just think it goes unseen sometimes because we can get away with talent. You know what I mean? Some things we can play is like, man, I'm really getting away with this by my talent and skill.
Very true.
You know, but, you know, if I take the extra time to really sit down and just learn the basic fundamentals and going back to roots of it, man, like you said, you'll definitely be a stronger player.
Yeah, very true. Because my belief is that you take someone with talent versus someone with less talent but a better work ethic, in the long run, the person with the work ethic will succeed a whole lot more and progress much further.
Definitely, yeah.
Because a lot of times, someone with talent, you know, it's like they're not used to working hard, and you get frustrated when things are difficult.
Right.
Where someone without the talent is used to working hard. So, you know, you develop a work ethic that a talented person may not develop. Now, you take a talented person with a good work ethic, And there you got a genius.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, Victor, I got to talk about your musical influences. I definitely hear a lot of Stanley Clark in you, a lot of Larry Graham, Bootsy Collins, man. I mean, you name it, man. It's just really in your mix of your playing.
Good.
Some other
yeah,
music, man. You know, it's just, I mean, it can't go unseen or unheard, man. I mean, as soon as you hear, it's like, wow. But it's still you, but again, you're pulling a lot of those elements and really making it your own. And I think that's really important as musicians, man. We got to pull from other places and different styles and things to really broaden our horizons and really mature our ear. And I just really think you put a nice compilation together, man, as a style, man. How did those influences...
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. How did they really impact your life, man, you know, on this musical journey?
Well, in the best way. They did in the best way. Everybody you mentioned are at the top of my list. If I had to choose one, like, hero of mine on the bass, it would be Stanley Clark. As a kid, he was one of my main guys. Of course, like you said, I was heavily into Bootsy, you know, first from James Brown, and then following him, you know, on and on and after that. Larry Graham, definitely. You know, all the thumb stuff that I do would not be have even been thought about. Without my, you know, interest in Larry Graham and all the stuff that he had done.
Right.
And I could go on and on, but I owe all of those influences to my brothers for turning me on to that incredible music at such an early age. And the cool thing, because I grew up in a musical family with four older siblings, like four older teachers, not only was I just exposed to that music, I understood it. And I was playing it.
Right.
So my brothers, my oldest brother, Reggie, who's 8 years older than me, he's the one that taught me to play bass. He was explaining things to me. If they took me to concerts, it was an education. It wasn't just, let's enjoy this music. It was an education. So we went there to learn, and we did learn. And, you know, any young kid wants to be like his older brothers.
Yeah.
Any young boy. And so that was me, but I had four of them. And I wasn't just a young baby. I was part of something. You know, we were a five-piece band. From age five, for me, we've been out gigging on the weekends. Like, that's all I've ever done. And so having that, it's like being a part of a team, you know. But even better than that, I lived with these people.
Definitely.
You know, and we were heavily supported by my mom and dad, who were always there. So it was the best situation for me. I always tell people it was like I had six parents, my four brothers, and my mom and dad. So it was just the perfect situation to grow up in, to learn to do anything. But for us, our focus just happened to be music.
Man, I come from a musical background myself. And, you know, my uncle had a church and still does have a church. And, you know, I was about 16, 17. You know, I'm coming from... an R&B and hip-hop background as a musician, and, you know, he wanted me to play for the church as a guitarist at the time. You know, so I came in, and all the things I could really think about, I knew Jimi Hendrix, I knew Prince, and some of the other guys I listened to, man. But, you know, having that church background really changed my style. It really added to my arsenal as a musician. You know, it was my first audience, for one, you know what I mean? And
right.
It was just really nice for me to build that ear for improv and picking up songs and learning covers. And, you know, I always knew how to play keyboards also, but, you know, be able to translate that and really start playing in a live audience, really finding out what chops really work into a live environment versus studio. You know what I mean? So I always kind of looked at that church, man, was just that foundation for me, you know, so I definitely agree with you.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, church, I mean, nowadays, you know, like in the 70s, we had a lot of fusion music.
Yeah.
You know, with Return to Forever, you know, and all this heavy stuff. It seems to me, I could be wrong, but it seems to me that nowadays fusion music is found in the black churches.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I hope I don't come off as a racist saying that, but that's just my thoughts, man. A lot of times you go to these churches and people hang around afterwards just to jam.
Yes.
And to see what the musicians are doing. You know, you go hear Stevie Wonder's band, or you go hear, you know, the top R&B bands, Chaka Khan's band. It's made up out of church musicians.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so to me, that's where the musicians are really excelling, because they're allowed to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you they know? Do, man. It's like that time in, you know, having that craft, your weapon of destruction, whatever it may be, on the music side, man, just having those hours and hours of live rehearsals, performances, and like you said, those jam sessions after church. That, man, that's a lot of time on the guitar and the keyboard and drums. And after, over time, man, you guys just really merge together and really build a solid foundation as musicians, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, I got to talk about your project, man. SMV, Stanley Clark, Marcus Miller, and yourself, man. I couldn't believe, man, when I first heard that, Victor, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Hey, I was a part of it, and I felt the same way. You know, I felt the same way. I mean, just knowing that I was getting a chance to record and hang and sit in the same room with Stanley and Marcus, I was like, you got to be kidding. This, you know, it can't get better than this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, two of the heaviest hitters in the game, man. I mean, it's Stanley Clark, Marcus Miller. I mean, the names, this speaks for itself. And on top of what you're bringing, oh, dude. I mean, I only had a chance to view some of the YouTube clips. I mean, because I love getting that live feel. I love seeing things more live. I love the audio, don't get me wrong, but it's just nothing about that live experience, man. It just takes it to another level.
Oh, man.
Creatively.
It was amazing live. Whoa, when we hit the stage, man, it did take it to another level.
Wow.
Yeah. Believe it or not, for years, man, and I mean years, I started working on it. Meaning, I would see Stanley, like, after I moved to Nashville, you know, every, I don't know, not much, but Stanley Clark would come to town to play either with his band or something like that. It was usually his band. And I would go see him, and I'd try to show up early and say hey to him and stuff. And I would say, man, Stanley, you, me, and Marcus, man, we should just do something, you know? And, you know, everybody's busy, got their lives, families, wives, kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I just plant that seed, you know. Then I would see Marcus somewhere. It might be a NAMM show or wherever. And I would say, Marcus, man, you, me, and Stanley, man, we should just do something, you know? And that went on for years. And then a few years ago, like the year before we did it, Bass Player Magazine put on this big show. Bass Player Live, and it was in New York.
Yeah.
And they asked Marcus and me to present Stanley with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
And so we agreed to do it, and while we were there, they asked us to play, to just jam with Stanley. And so we chose to do School Days, Stanley's big bass hit.
Yeah.
And so when we got together and just played, it happened first at Soundcheck. And we just got on stage and played, and nobody had to talk. It was like Stanley started playing his part, Marcus took the bottom, I found my place in the middle, and it was grooving, man. It was just so nice.
Amazing.
Without anybody saying anything. You know, those guys are such musicians, such complete musicians. You know,
yes.
From their years of doing scores, movie scores, TV scores, mm-hmm. you know, they just know what to do. And you know, and my whole bass playing life has been patterned after those guys. So I was able to really speak their language and fit in with them.
Wow.
And it was after that show that we all said, look, you know, man, we got to do this for real. It's time, you know, it's time to do it.
Yeah.
And I was excited.
Wow.
I'm still excited.
Man, you know, it's like, it's cool, man. I love seeing guys who are really on top of their game and who are also fans of musicians and music, man. You know?
Absolutely, man. You know, when I first met Stanley Clark, I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And even today, when I still see him, I feel 9 again. You know?
Sure. You know,
I just get excited.
Oh, you can't help but to, man. You know, that's just where the inspiration comes in. You know what I mean? It is really going back to the days of before we were actually tracking and making records. It was all about, you know, grooving and, you know, perfecting your craft. So, no, I hear you, man.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Victor, you've been putting out a lot of audio CDs and DVDs covering a lot of bass techniques for upcoming and seasoned bass players. you know, and also you're hosting base workshop seminars around the world with other seasoned veterans in the game. Man, how's that been going for you?
You know, I'm just still enjoying myself musically. I enjoy what I do, and I'm still learning. Like you just said, I'm still a fan.
Sure.
So, you know, when you're a fan and you're still, when you're coming up learning, you see someone like Stanley, Jocko, people like that, you get inspired. Jimi Hendrix. You get inspired by people like that. Well, I'm still that way. I'm 46. I've been playing the bass well over 40 years, but I still have that mentality.
Being a student of the game.
You nailed it. Yeah, student of the game. The main difference now is I get to share what I learned with other people.
Wow.
You know, where people will come to me to learn what I've learned. So that's added a whole nother level to what I do.
Right.
And it also makes me want to learn more and more and more so that I have more to offer people.
Sure.
So, you know, I just feel like I'm at the top of my life, you know, but it just keeps getting better and higher and better. And the younger players are better and better. They're doing more and more stuff, and that inspires me to be better. You know, so for
right.
And listen to it and love it and learn it. You know, I'm flattered.
Right.
I just love it all.
No, that's all great, man. I mean, this is what it's all about, you know.
For me.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to ask you, man. I listened to a lot of your CDs, and one thing that really sticks out to me is I love mix. I love great mixes. I love great balanced instruments within a song, and, you know, nobody's really fighting for different positions in the track. Everything's really balanced, man. And your tone of your bass is really balanced and thick, man. You know, give me your signal chain, you know, before you're hitting your DAW recorder. If you're not recording DAW, if you're still on analog tape, man, you know, give me that signal chain of before and after his process.
Well, sure. Well, nowadays, I'm taking the easy route, but it just so happens to be the expensive route, too. But I'm using Pro Tools. And Pro Tools nowadays makes recording easy. Meaning, you know, I mean, to the point where it can get too easy. You know, if I play something out of tune, I can tune it. If it's out of time, I can move it. You know?
Yeah.
And so I have to watch it to make sure that I still know how to play.
same thing with those MIDI guys, man. He's like, you know, I run MIDI 95% of the time when I'm tracking, and because I'm a straight keyboardist.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you say, man, we can all just make our little edits. Like, if I'm off a key, man, it's like, oh, I'm going to slide that note back and make it, you know, a little bit more quantized and take out the mistakes.
Right.
But you still want to be able to play it live, though, man. I don't want to be caught on stage.
Right. And, you know, I hadn't even gotten into the MIDI world yet. I still got to get there. But, you know, I'm still a player. So that's my main thing. I want to play good music. And, so for the most part, I plug in, I don't do much to my signal chain. I don't put much in between me and the machine, whether it's tape or whatever.
Sure.
But my preference is to go through either a direct box or some kind of, you know, direct box. Sometimes I plug right into my Control 24 board.
Oh, okay.
Into Pro Tools. Sometimes I'll use a simple direct box. I gravitate sometimes towards a Countryman, believe it or not, a Countryman or a Stewart simple direct box. And like I just finished recording a new record with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, and we went through a few direct boxes just to see which sound I liked. And I went back to one of the things I used on our very first record, which was an old Stewart direct box.
Wow.
But when I'm at home, what I like to do sometimes is when I'm using my own home studio, I'll go direct, but I'll also mic an amp.
Oh, sure.
So that I have a choice, and I can also blend them together for a third choice, and then I can change my tone from song to song if I want to.
Right. You know, most guitarists that I speak to and bass players, man, they don't like a lot of color on their chain. You know what I mean? They try to keep it as natural sounding as possible. you know, and just really let the engineers bring out the extra color and, you know, compression if needed. Mm-hmm. But now I hear you going direct is the best. You know, I'm a firm believer of going direct first and then adding later. You know, I don't like to process too much of my signal going in, because after I start adding different tones, things might start getting lost in the mix, and it may be too wet or too colored where, you know, it's drawing in everything out. So, no, I hear you there, man.
Exactly. And like you just said, you know, I don't do much to it at all going in. If there's any effects, I'll add it afterwards.
Right.
You know? So that's the best way to do it.
Well, are you doing the plugins, or are you still running external effects?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Definitely both. Some of them are plugins. And, you know, a lot of the times I tend to run more and more plugins because they're getting better and better.
Right.
You know, like I have this killing Lexicon reverb deal. I don't even remember model numbers and all that stuff. My brain doesn't work that way. But, man, this thing sounds so good.
Yes.
And I also have the rack mount version on it.
It's hard to tell the difference, man.
I don't even use that anymore. Yeah.
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 You know,
there's some good stuff. I've got some old compressors and stuff too, ADL compressors and things.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're getting just as good now digitally.
Yeah, oh yeah, I totally agree. You know, a lot of us,
I mean,
man,
for my ear, yeah.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it too is, man, we spend so much money, you know, on the external gear, and, you know, we hate parting with it. At least I do.
That's,
it's like, man, that's
the truth.
800 grand on that mic pre, man. I just can't see myself giving that away, you know?
right, exactly. You're absolutely right.
You know, so I hear you there, man. You know, for your zone, Victor, as a musician, man, do you find in that zone, being in a studio where the environment is a little bit more controlled and, you know, we have time to make our edits and really focus on the project, or is it that being on stage with your fellow bandmates and gravitating off the audience's energy?
Well, the big answer, or the direct answer, is that I'm happy that I get to do both.
Okay.
You know, like I've been playing live, and I've been trying all year to start working on my next record, and I haven't been able to record one note. So I'm really aching to get into the studio to do my own stuff.
Wow, yeah.
But if I had to choose one over the other, I would definitely choose playing live.
Sure.
Because there is nothing that can beat feeling the vibe and the energy from the audience.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
If you think about this, there's hardly anything else in the world that I can think of, or any profession, where you go to do your craft and you know, hundreds of thousands of people pay hard-earned money to come see you do it and cheer you on. In other words, everyone that walks through that door is on your side, and they're here to support you. I can't think of anything else like that. You know, we could say a sporting event, but usually at a sporting event, half of the crowd is against you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in music, a live concert, everybody there is cheering you on, and they want to see you succeed. And you stand on stage in front of all of them and like, bare your soul, and they accept you. Man, there's nothing like that.
Wow.
Nothing else like that.
Can imagine that, man. Man, so what is on the musical agendas? What's left of 2010, man? We're merging to 2011, man. What's on plate for Victor?
That's right. Well, one of the things is that, you know, there's a new Bela Fleck and the Flecktones record coming out. But I also have some stuff that I'm going to be announcing very, very soon. Some new approaches, some new things. And all I can say right now is people should keep checking out my website, victorwooten.com, because I do have some things on the horizon for early 2011, early next year, some things on the horizon.
Wow.
So I've got some fun stuff that I'm going to happen. And at the same time, I'm working on my, I'm going to start working on my new record. But I have some fun stuff planned before that, and people should watch my website, victorwooten.com, to see what's coming on. I'm just not quite allowed to announce it yet.
Oh, I hear that, man. Got to keep it safe, huh?
Yeah, got to keep it safe, you know, and when you announce things, if every, you know, the way media works, everything has to be synchronized and you know, done the right way and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree.
Got some cool things happening.
Man, it sounds hot, man. You know, Victor, I want to thank you so much, man, for taking your time and, you know, chopping it up with me on my show. It's been a true honor, brother, man. And yes, we definitely got to get together, man. I'll be at the NAMM show 2011.
Cool. Yeah, I'll be running around that show. It'll be good to see you, man.
All right, Victor, man. Well, you have a safe 2010 and best luck to you next year, man. And we'll talk soon, brother.
All right, too tight. Stay tight.
Oh, definitely, man. Take it easy, bro.
Okay, man. Love you. Peace.
And a big shout out and thank you to Victor Wooten for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, man, I'm just a huge fan of Victor. He's just a phenomenal bass player, man. He's really taken it to another level, and he continues to remain a student of music. For more information on Victor, you need to hit his website up at www.victorwooten.com. www.victorwooten.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up at www.spudtootight.com. Again, www.spudtootight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast, so if you have an iPhone, an iPod, a PC, or a Mac, open up the iTunes store, type in the Producers Corner with Spud Too Tight, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening in. So until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.